So it's just going to start with us giggling like schoolgirls for no reason.
Of course it is. That's pretty much how every episode starts. So what's going on, gentlemen?
Not too much. How was everybody's Christmas?
It was good. Rich, did Santa bring anything good?
I mean, it was okay. Alcohol. I have a lot of alcohol, so that was fun. Trying to think what I did get. It's all in the back of my car.
Herpes.
My mom got me a Macho Man, the little wrestling WWE He-Man figure things I've been buying. So that was cool.
Oh, nice. So you get the Macho Man one?
I got the Macho Man one.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yay. Next.
Dude, I almost got you the Hogan NWO one, but
Doink the Clown is just coming out, so I gotta go find him now.
Ooh. Is it the Matt Bourne Doink the Clown?
That's what people are saying, yes.
Okay, good. Yeah.
It's the new wave. It's him, Andre the Giant. And it's cool because Andre, you can take off his singlet, the black singlet, and underneath of it, he's got the blue trunks.
Oh, okay, good.
You can snap the blue boots on him. And his hair comes off, and you can put the afro on him. So you either got like 80s Andre the Giant or 70s afro Andre the Giant.
Or you can take the afro off, put the black singlet on him, and put the 70s hair in his pants. Yeah, that's coming out the thigh. And he's got the 70s fro in it. He's got the 70s bush.
Oh, stop. You said, as soon as you said, okay, good. That was it.
No, I was just so glad he had underwear on and it's not Andre the Giant's little buddy hanging out down there.
First of all, I'm sitting here thinking, gosh, how nerdy was it of me to just say, oh, yeah, is it the Matt Bourne version of Doink? And then you just went into the whole Andre the Giant thing. And thank God Bob cleared the air.
And then before Christmas, I just set it up maybe 2 weeks ago, whenever it was before I got down here, I did pick up a new 3D printer too. I got, it was like super discounted. It was like $140 BQBX at Micro Center.
Nice.
Direct drive. Yeah, it was like, I think that's regular, like $400. Like, well, I don't need this, but for $150, I'm going to go buy one.
God damn, for that much, nice. I need one.
Have you used it yet?
Yeah, I printed out one. It's direct drive. I have an Ender 3 that I've like upgraded everything on except for that. And I've been wanting to print flexible filaments. And you can't really do that well without a direct. So I printed a little keychain that looks like my dog out of the flexible stuff. So this way it doesn't. I've been printing them out en masse because taking them in and out of the pocket, eventually it breaks off where the keychain snaps on. But now because it's flexible, theoretically it won't break.
Right. And that, because you're using it. So basically, you know, my limited knowledge of 3D printing really vastly around the last year or so. But a lot of filament is PLA, but you're using a different kind of filament, right?
I'm using TPU for the flexible stuff.
Yeah. So it's really cool. It's cool because like there's different melting temperatures and are you using different nozzle size for that or?
You know, I haven't changed any nozzles yet. Just because I don't have to. So I'm using the 0.4 millimeter one that came with it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you can get like filaments that have shit inside of them, like a marble one that's actually got little rocks in there, so it looks like marble, or brick one that looks like brick or wood. But if you shoot them through a cheapy nozzle, it'll tear apart the end of the nozzle and you have to replace it sooner. So you can get like diamond tip nozzles and ruby tip nozzles or hardened steel, so it doesn't chew it away as bad. You can get like super cheap or super expensive, like I guess with any hobby.
Yeah, because those, and it's crazy too, because like the regular nozzles for 3D printers are like, and I say this as being a thing, but dime a dozen, they really are. They're really cheap. We got an Anchor. Santa brought us an Anchor Make M5 for Christmas, and it's kind of the polar opposite of an Ender or any of those other, you know, and the mainstream 3D printers were. You know, you're changing the heads, you're changing the screen, you're changing whatever. There's nothing to upgrade. It's an all-in-one, whatever. Great for beginners. I know at a certain point, I'm going to hit it. It's like, oh, I'm going to have to get something else. But it's so easy, like literally anyone can use it. So I love it. And it's the smoothest prints I've seen yet for the price point, really. So you know, and I've used some FlashForge stuff, you know, a lot over the years, and you know, Utilimaker stuff, and you know, just some knockoff, you know, knockoff higher end stuff too, that, you know, that I've used, and Dremel stuff I've printed on, and this has been the smoothest yet for the price, and I love it. It's really cool. It's really fast too, and that's what I'm really liking about it. But it's been fun. No, it's I think it's a cool thing that, you know, I'm sitting here and it's like, you know, we broke out our Aero Garden the other night because Danielle had picked up some pods to grow some herbs on, and they're really, really cheap. Exactly, you know. But the there's a little lid that goes over the water portion where you pour the water in for the Aero Garden, and it was missing. We couldn't find it. And like literally 10 minutes of searching, we found somebody that already had designed one. We printed it for within an hour, and it was done. We had the lid for it. Like, super cool. Like how cool is that? It's like, oh, here we're basically messing with it for the first couple of days, and then we automatically have, oh, wait, well, we don't have to order a spare part or like make something out of wood or whatever that's not going to work anyway. Like, here it is.
See, and now the coolest thing I did with my Ender 3 is I bought He-Man and Skeletor banks from the 80s, but neither one of them had the little stopper that holds the coins into it. So I couldn't find them online, so I made them and printed them and shoved them in there. Now, I tried using CAD software a couple of times to do 3D prints, and I'm just not artistic at all, but there's this thing called OpenSCAD where you're actually doing everything through code. And I can see things better in my head through code than I can with like the artistic drawing and shit. So I was able to get the stuff pretty, you know, modeled that way quicker than I would have actually had to draw it out and do math, or not math, do art stuff.
I do have a question though. Have you messed with Tinkercad at all?
A little bit. I also picked up, I haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but there's a popular one for iPads and tablets. I think it's called Shaper, but I could be wrong. That's supposed to be easy to use. So yeah, I wanted to check that out.
The only reason why I say Tinkercad, and to me, Tinkercad is like, when I was messing with that the first time, it was like, you know, we all knew this growing up with computers. When you crack open and you turn on your computer, and one of the first things you flash on is Microsoft Paint when you're a kid, because you want to screw around and whatever. That's how Tinkercad was for me for 3D design. I was like, ooh, this is perfect. This is like MS Paint, except it's three-dimensional. Like, I'm not having to do much. I can make something and I can immediately turn it into something I can print. And we actually have run things through our school district through Tinkercad where kids are creating using that, and little ones, you know, and we're printing them out. So I don't know. I just think it's a fun tool, and it's really, anyone can mess with it.
Very cool.
So Bob, what about you, man? What about you for Christmas?
Well, I got a question first. So, with the 3D printer, how much is the filament? Is the filament stuff expensive?
$20 for a kilogram usually. Maybe even less than that if you can get like cheaper ones.
And then
kilogram will last you a while too. Okay. Like, yeah.
Now with the TPU, so theoretically, because a lot of phone cases are made out of that, would you be able to make a phone case?
You can print phone cases, yes.
Oh no shit. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and you can print phone cases out of the other kinds of filament too. It just, you know, obviously may not be as, you know, last as long or
right,
you know, or as like TPU, like that stuff is obviously, as Rich said, is more pliable. So it has a lot more give. The other stuff is a lot more breakable. The main stuff, the PLA, but you can print, make a phone case out of it. It just may not be, you know,
right.
You know, last as long as, obviously.
I actually have the little, so there's the dog keychain. And then if I punch it inside, you can see it'll.
Nice. Like, yeah, you can't do that with PLA.
Yeah, no, it would crack immediately. This is basically like a PVC keychain, like the little rubber keychains that you get. Yeah. It feels exactly like that. And what's cool is, with any, you can do it with any 3D print, but this one seemed to take it well. is you can kind of smooth it out a little bit and get rid of some stringing, because this stuff, stringing is, if it's going from one spot to another, it'll retract some of the filament, but it can tend to leave little strings and stuff. Just take a lighter and run a lighter over it. It smooths out some of the lines and it gets rid of the stringing almost immediately.
Oh, cool.
And this is where it was breaking. But again, this was so, I mean, just looking at it that way, these were so cheap to print, even with the PLA, that I would just print six at a time. And as it would break, I would just go grab another one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like you said, the PLA, and there's PLA Plus we're talking about, which is a little more durable, and then there's silk filaments, and it gets into this.
A little, like, that's where it would break, would be at the little hole reconnector.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
All right. As far as my Christmas, it was a little strange. Not the normal Christmas with all the moving stuff and everything was going on, and I had to work Christmas Day. So we did Christmas Eve. We did everything. I got from my friends Sully and Quasi. They got me a Pop Yourself. So it's actually a pop that looks like me.
And I saw that on Facebook. That's awesome.
I didn't see it originally. I had to look at it again, but it's actually got a little puppy that sits next to me, and I've got an Xbox controller in my hand. So pretty cool. Stephanie's boyfriend Mike got me an Eagles hoodie. It's a real nice Eagles hoodie. And my favorite gift, though, is Peyton got me, all by himself, got me Halo Infinite for the Series X. So
nice.
Very cool.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's you know. How about you, Tom? What else?
Well, other than the 3D printer, I got Tears of the Kingdom, and I've been pouring hours and hours and hours into that already. Love Breath of the Wild. I make no bones about that. To me, that is Nintendo's Skyrim. And so, of course, Tears of the Kingdom was going to be an obvious win for me. But my absolute favorite thing, without spoiling anything, is the fusion part in that game, which I believe we've discussed. Cost a little bit, maybe.
That's where you build shit, right?
Yeah. So, and I'm early on. So, I made a wagon wheel club yesterday, and that was the funniest looking thing. But the fact that you can just fuse like two weapons together to make like a spear sword or something, it's like ridiculous things. Like, I chop down a tree and make a sword log. Like, it's, I don't know, it's so fun.
How many penises have you made?
Well, I mean, are we talking like realistic?
No.
Okay, no, then like 75.
Okay, I was gonna say, yeah, I mean, like, I'm not counting every time you hit a bush or whatever and a twig fell out. We're not talking about that. We're talking about like when you fused shit.
No, but the funny thing is, like, I messed around earlier and I was in a shrine trying to complete the tasks, and I'm like, this is definitely not the way you're supposed to be doing this. At all. And I spent way more time like sitting there just jacking with the controller, like slowly, like basically tightrope walking when you're supposed to be building stuff. And it's like, no, I'm going to just do this. And if you're familiar with these Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom games, every time you advance in a certain part of your shrine, there's a sound that plays. Well, no sounds are playing every time I'm advancing. So I'm like, oh God, like it's going to like warp me back to the beginning. It's going to like there's no way that this is going to count. Well, sure enough, I start like figuring out a way to like get what I need back to the beginning, and it starts working. I'm like, holy crap. But that's the beautiful part about the game. It let me do what I wanted to do, even though it was most likely wrong.
Right.
I still figured out a way to do it. But that's the part of video games that I love. And I've said that many, many times here, is that open world, do what you please, figure it out. You know, you're not set in a storyline. You're not linear. You're not whatever. I did it the way I figured it out, which was, again, likely the worst way possible. But I got through it. And then Bob tells me that his nephew, who is much, 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 much younger than me, has beaten the game 3 times already. And,
that's a time thing, though.
Yeah,
kids, we could sit there and we could play games for forever now. Yeah, I still haven't. I bought RoboCop, 2 months before Christmas, and I haven't turned it on yet. So I plan on playing it eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I got myself the Xbox for Christmas. It's and it's still sitting in the closet in the packaging, like the shipping packaging.
Yeah, I did right before Christmas. I got my copy of The Warriors on 4K, and I watched that as soon as it got to the house.
Nice.
Oh, wait, one more question for Tom. How many Koroks have you put in the space?
Zero. Oh. I'm not there yet. No, I haven't put any Koroks in the space yet. I've only found like three seeds.
See, I started playing that when it came out, and I don't like the weapon degradation. I did like the building mechanics. And I never finished Breath of the Wild. I got like halfway through, and I'm like, yeah, I'm done. And the same thing kind of happened with Tears of the Kingdom. It's like, maybe I'll go back to this.
Well, see, I almost got through Breath of the Wild, like literally like 95%. And I stopped because the problem was I got through most of the story and I was like, oh crap, I don't want to finish this. And then I started doing every little menial thing possible before I finished the story, which is weird because when I played Skyrim through the first time, I barreled through the story and then I restarted it. And then, you know, it was just weird.
We'll want to go back and finish these after we see Chris Pratt voice Link in the Legend of Zelda movie next year.
Yeah, he will. We all know that. Yeah. Well, I mean, well, here's the thing. I do appreciate the
story. Excuse me, princess.
Now, maybe it'll be Bradley Cooper.
Ooh, I like that. All right. No. All right.
Are we seeing an ass?
It's live action. It's going to be Timothy Chalamet.
Oh God, it is going to be Timothy
Chalamet. Oh, it is live action.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, it's going to be Timothy Chalamet because he's got those boyish good looks that he could play.
Orlando Bloom. Exactly. Oh, see, in a perfect world, it should be Orlando Bloom. You got to rewind about 25 years. But
yeah. So no, I did the same thing you did with Breath of the Wild. I got. Except for then when I went to finally try and finish it, I couldn't find the fucking Goron City. So I just stopped playing because I just got so frustrated with it. And I didn't want to look at any guides or anything because I was trying to play it through, you know, with no assistance. And like Peyton, meanwhile, had beaten that game, I think, two or three times. And he's like, Uncle Bobby, just let me tell you where it's at. I'm like, no, I don't want to know. I want to find it myself. And so I just gave up, and I haven't played it since.
I think that's a great point, too. And, you know, our generation, you know, other than we, you know, yeah, occasionally there would be a thick Prima guide available. But, yeah, we didn't have the internet to.
You know what we had? We had schoolyards. Mm-hmm. Every day we would come back and tell each other.
Yep.
We don't do that anymore.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, did you find a secret warp in blah, blah, blah? Like.
That's how I found out about the whistles in Super Mario Bros. 3.
I got 9 heart containers. The 6th and 7th one were here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's crazy. It's funny because, like, I was sitting through playing Tears of the Kingdom earlier, and actually Tommy came up and said, hey, you know, because I was struggling with a point. And, of course, I've been asking, you know, him and Katie for help all along anyway, just because they see things much more differently and probably better than I do at this point. But it's like, oh yeah, just look it up. And it's like, no, I don't want to. That's not what I want to do. Like, I want to try to figure it out. I may not be smart enough to figure it out, but I'm going to try.
What if you were looking it up in Nintendo Power?
Yeah.
Yes. And submitting high scores in Nintendo Power. Those were the days, guys. Those were the days.
Hell yeah. Mm. I still remember... And never actually hearing this on the schoolyard per se, because we were in, I think, 10th or 11th grade when this game came out. But the rumors about Mew and where Mew was in Pokemon Red and Blue. Oh, you got to go push the truck. It's underneath the truck. No, it's not. No, he's fucking not. That was a lie.
I played through Pokemon Red on an emulator.
Me too.
On my dad's giant 21-inch monitor.
Oh, ours wasn't a giant 28.
Well, he was had bad eyes, so he bought one. But this, I don't know if you remember this thing, but it like took up the whole desk.
Yeah, I remember. Your dad's computer was awesome. Yeah. No, I played on like whatever the little like 14-inch little fucking
with Nesticle.
Yeah,
whatever the Game
Boy. Oh, was. Wow, yeah.
What the fuck was the Game Boy one? I had that too, which I'm fairly certain you gave me.
Oh, I wanted to bring that. I mentioned it. Do we all have Switches? Well, obviously we all have Switches because we're all talking about. Did you guys see that there's a multi-game
flash card
coming out? That's it. Yes, thank you. Flash card coming out for the Switch.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah, let's talk on that. So what do y'all think?
I'm not going to get my Switch banned.
I'm down. This is my second Switch anyway.
Well, I've got a couple to play with. I'm cool. Let's see what happens.
I'm gonna pick it up. Yeah.
I mean,
I buy everything anyway, so this is more just for convenience factor. So
yeah. Hey, you know what though? Here's the thing too. We're definitely approaching end of life, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, I hope to live for another 40 years.
No, not us.
I don't want to live for another 40 years. That would make me like 82, and I'm now. No, I'm good. I'm having problems now.
But no, on the Switch itself, so we're approaching end of life on the Switch, and, you know, Switch 2 or Pro or whatever is going to be the next Nintendo console on the horizon. Well, yes, there we go. I think that's a great name. Switch U, that works.
New Nintendo Switch U.
Exactly. The Switch 64. Yeah. whatever the next iteration is coming out. So the homebrew community is obviously going to step it up here as Nintendo starts to, which they always do, they start weaning back on their controls over the current generation. So I really wonder, though, if things like this multi-cart things that they're, I mean, obviously, they're keeping an eye on it, but do you really think they're going to screw with their own? You do?
Yep, and here's why. Remember, the 3DS, 2DS, all that stuff is end of life, has been end of life. Right. They're shutting down the servers and everything already, and then the eShop has already closed, right? They released, right before they closed the eShop, they released a firmware update that shut down all current methods of jailbreaking their systems and installing homebrew on it. They are very much still interested in protecting their shit because they saw what happened with the DS, because the DS was the wild, wild west. People were releasing flash carts left and right. And as soon as Nintendo could shut them down, they were popping out new ones. And Nintendo still is hurt from that and believes that that really cost them a lot of money. And the software developers were pissed at them for not being more proactive and shutting it down.
Yeah. So, it's
the other thing to think about is they're already whatever the new Switch is called has already been designed. It's already being worked on whatever. If it's backwards compatible and takes the same cartridges as the Switch and there's a flash cart for it, it'll work. At least for Switch games, when it comes to, so there's that to consider too.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it I just think it's interesting to talk about, and that's the reason why I questioned it, because I knew exactly what they've been doing. Nintendo's notorious for it. The thing that I wonder though with the Switch itself is you have such an interesting ecosystem that, you know, you almost wonder why it's not more locked down now. Because to me, it's still kind of ahead a little bit. I mean, it sounds weird. I know their hardware is obviously not, but the way they're doing things, it's just different. They're still, you know, they're still doing things that are, I don't know, kind of ahead of the curve for them anyway. And I'm just almost wonder why it's not more locked now. Because people are still kind of, I don't know, they're, I think it's kind of still monkeying with the system now as it is. So I don't know. Sorry. Just kind of.
No, I mean, I get it. I think that they're just, to this point, nobody had really made the advances in building the flash card stuff. Yeah, they had figured out exploits into how to load different things, how to sideload stuff onto it. But there hadn't really been that much of a community, what's the word I'm looking for here? The community effort to break into the flash card realm. And now I guess maybe they were keeping it under wraps because they knew how intense Nintendo is when it comes to this stuff. And so now, so they kept everything kind of hush hush. And now that it's here, Nintendo has to scramble to try and shut it down.
Right. And the reason why I say all that is because it's like, now it's like, and maybe the times we're living in now, but it's like, oh yeah, I see a new Nintendo 64 cart released from a third party now. And it's like, well, am I going to start seeing that stuff 10 years from now with the Switch stuff? But knowing how advanced tech is now, I think it's funny that one of two things hasn't happened. One, that Nintendo hasn't really figured out a way to completely lock it out from happening, or two, that the other side is, well, this should have been happening all along. Right. I mean,
yeah. Well, and I think that it has been happening in the background, but people have been quiet about it based on not wanting to provoke a too quick of a response from Nintendo. Let Nintendo kind of seem into a, like, kind of lull them into a false sense of security, and then boom.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know my kids have finally been playing some Wonder. Super Mario Wonder.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't played yet, but that looks cool. Dude,
so good.
I got that for my nephew for Christmas.
Have you played it, Rich?
I beat it. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, I haven't touched it yet, but it looks really cool.
It was very enjoyable. It was probably, for all the games I bought, I didn't really play a lot of games last year, but Mario Wonder is probably up towards the top of the list of games I did play. It was really good.
Okay, yeah. So
it was a 2D Mario game. It was better than any of the new Super Mario games. It reminds me a lot anyway, of Super Mario World, with the secrets and the power-ups and stuff, and the world maps. It was like a return to good 2D Mario games.
Yeah, it was kind of like a boost of nostalgia without actually being nostalgic. There was a ton of new content. It wasn't rehashing the same stuff, but it was just familiar enough to scratch that itch.
And then every level has that Wonder Seed that adds like this whole psychedelic level to the game, which adds new mechanics, which is kind of cool.
Yes.
100%. That's actually a great thing. So let's kind of rehash 2023. Would that be like the best Nintendo game you've probably touched this year? Or?
The best one made by Nintendo.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I would definitely say that. Trying to think of stuff I played on my Switch this year, like physical games, it would be that and Pokemon, which came out last year. So,
yeah, I mean, Nintendo's notorious for basically doing one a year at this point. So yeah. maybe two.
But yeah,
they are developing new Mario Kart 2025. Supposedly, we'll see on that one. I don't know, but
when I played Fire Emblem Engage too, which again, good game. I really like it. I think it came out last year though too, but as far as I'm concerned, the best game that Nintendo put out this year for the Switch, Super Mario Wonder, and the Metroid Remaster, which I still haven't managed to get my hands on. But
yeah. No, I saw some a little bit, like I said, a little bit of time on Wonder. Look great. No, and you're right. I do like the Super Mario World kind of analogy there. That's great. That, yeah, kind of makes me want to play that now.
I picked up Mario RPG. Highly recommend. But I haven't had a chance to play that yet either.
What's that?
Mario RPG.
Oh yeah, I haven't got a chance to play that either yet. I don't have it yet, but
that's I like I said, I spent the last couple nights just playing some Tears of the Kingdom, and that's been fantastic.
I brought a pile of games to play here, and all I've played so far, I've been at my parents' house for like my mom's house for the last week, and I've been playing the Picross Mario game for the Super Nintendo that's on the Switch online thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the Wii, though, because I actually set up a long play game of Fortune Street on the Wii, and I played that for a couple nights. So
I had a it's funny you say the online thing, Rich. I had about a 2 or 3 hour on the Nintendo online for the Switch of Wario's Woods.
I like Wario's Woods, yes.
Yeah, which is just ridiculous. That game can go on forever and ever and ever. And yeah, it'll take forever to get to what you think you're so far in. It's like, oh no, we're just going to have 10 more minutes on this level. Here's 15 on this level.
I've been playing a lot of the... I picked up that Analog Pocket a while ago, and I just... It's stupid, but I've been playing a lot of Tetris on it. I grabbed the original Tetris thing and just plugged it in there. It's like, okay, this is fun again. And, yeah.
Hey, man, Tetris and Dr. Mario on the original Game Boy. I mean, what else do you need? Like, Metroid 2 and Super Mario Land 2?
Yeah, Tetris on the Game Boy. Yeah.
Blades of Steel, maybe. You know, but not even that. I would probably play Mole Mania.
I played a little Tecmo Bowl on the Game Boy too. That was fun.
Yeah, Tecmo Bowl on the Game Boy is pretty good. I remember getting that for Christmas.
I probably played more Tetris on the Game Boy than anything else.
Oh, Alleyway. Yeah. Alleyway was good.
Yeah, or any other puzzle game, Kix. I would play a lot of.
Oh yeah, Kix was good.
Yeah. There was a 2D scroller I play a lot of, Adam's Family. I can't remember which movie one it was. Either Adam's Family or Adam's Family Values, but there was a 2D, and I play a lot of that. I don't know why. Probably because I had it.
Yeah, probably because you had it. Look, but, man, let's be real. When we were kids, if you had a game, it was really good, even if it sucked, because guess what? You have it and you can play it.
Exactly.
It's better than cutting the lawn.
Yeah. Exactly. I remember having a Game Gear and playing through an entire season of the, I believe it was the Majors Pro Baseball. Was that the game, Bob? Am I right on that?
Majors was the one with the baseball label and had all the signatures
on it. Yes, yep. And played through an entire 162 game season on that thing. Probably an absolutely terrible game if I think about it now, but that's what I had in my hand at the time.
Hey, I used to play the shit out of Bo Jackson Baseball and Football on the Game Boy. It was the worst fucking baseball and football game I've ever played in my life. I think I had more fun with that, though, than, like, I don't know. It was better than cutting lawn.
Did it have the picture of him just wearing the football?
Oh, yeah, shoulder pads?
Yeah. So, all right. So, no, on the front, it was a split picture. It had a line down the middle and had one where he was holding, like, in baseball gear, one where he was in football gear. But here's what I found out about that picture with the shoulder pads and the bat. He refuses to sign them now.
Really?
He refuses to sign them, and he will not sign anything Tecmo Bowl related.
Oh.
That's weird.
Yep.
Wonder
why. His name's in there. He's not, like, I don't know what position he played.
He's a running back.
Okay, he's not RB. I don't know what team he played for
either. Yeah, he's the QB Eagles.
That's what I was going for. Yeah, I didn't know anything else about him other than he played.
Yeah, no, that's really weird. I wonder why.
Is he a Raider? What did he play for?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, cool. Yay.
Yeah, he for whatever reason, I don't know why, but I saw like a banner recently for one of his signings, and it said that he will no longer sign the picture of him with the shoulder pads and the bat. He will no longer sign anything Tecmo Bowl related.
That's weird.
And there was a couple other things too. I don't remember them because they didn't stick out to me as much as the Tecmo Bowl and that picture. Because
that's because people kept handing him pictures with jizz all over them, and it was just like,
I mean, more than likely. Let's be real here.
No, that's crazy. That's weird. I mean, really, I associate him with Tecmo probably more than anything else. So maybe he's just tired of it.
Maybe it's because he wants more people to bring him Pro Stars stuff.